We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. Today we're going to continue our series in Christian character, and I wanted to talk about brotherly kindness and friendliness. Brotherly kindness and friendliness as character traits that we can develop. The Bible has a lot to say about friends and brotherly kindness. Over 100 verses in the Scripture use the idea of friend or friendship or friendly. Being friendly and maintaining friendships are character traits of mature Christians. A friend is someone attached to you with whom you have some affection or esteem. It seems to be more than someone who is an acquaintance, usually more than an acquaintance. You can have friends that are of the Christian faith. And you may have friends who do not follow the faith. Now, I know that statement may have caused some people some heartburn, but I do believe that you can have people who are more than acquaintances, who would be called friends, who are not Christians. Some people object to that and say, well, you have nothing in common with a person who is not a Christian. I would differ with that because the text of Scripture tells us that we have the image of God in common. We're humans in common. We have this world in common. We have the place where we live in common. We might have our workplace, our school place, our city or village in common. So we do have some things in common. Do we have the deepest and most eternal things in common? Obviously not. But it is okay to have people who you might consider a friend, and I think even more importantly, people who would consider you to be a friend because you're a friendly person, a nice person to them. There should be no reason why that is a problem. Maybe in the past you've had more of the kind of friend who are not Christians, and some of them were bad influences on you. Well, in that case, you distanced yourself from them. After all, if you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 12, the carefully arranged Proverbs of Solomon, we learn in a book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, when we read there recently in our home, in Proverbs 12:26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." The way of the wicked leads them astray. So obviously when we're talking about friends who aren't Christians, we're not talking about people who you're letting influence you to do bad things. That's off the table. It's obvious. So the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. We talk about this often with our children, I suppose, or think about it. Oh, they have a group of bad friends. Well, guys and gals, you need to have good friends, you know, people who are influencing you to do good things and to challenge you to higher achievement and things like that, and not the sinful things like in the early part of the book of Proverbs talks about. Friendship obviously has different levels, and very close friends on one level to an acquaintance kind of friendship, or on the other end of it. In fact, there's sometimes you might just greet somebody as a friend even though you don't know them well or know them really at all. An example of that is in Ruth chapter 4, when Boaz is making the arrangements to purchase the inheritance of Naomi and to marry Ruth. He goes to the city gate, and when the fellow who's the nearer kinsman redeemer comes in, he says, "Friend, sit by here." And so he calls him friend to bring him in to conduct or transact this business that has to happen. But I don't know that they were, you know, bosom buddies or anything like that. We'll look at many examples of how the idea of friend is used in the Bible and remind ourselves along the way how we should be like those friendly souls. Jesus considered certain people as friends. And so I think it's legitimate for us to think about if he had friends and was friendly, then we should have that as a mark of our Christian life as well. In fact, people complained about Jesus because they said he is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, I do wonder if you have no acquaintances or friends amongst those who are unbelievers, who are you reaching for the Lord? You know what I mean? You know, not just talking about cold calling, but your neighbor who's not a Christian. But you might swap recipes and you might trade tools and you might help them cut down a tree in their front yard or whatever, and you can have a witness to them. So we should maintain good friendships. All of our decent parents tell their children to watch out who they keep as friends. Sometimes siblings are best friends. That's a real blessing when that happens. You probably have had this experience where someone calls you a friend, but you did not consider them a friend in the other direction. Have you had that happen? Or somebody considers you a friend and you're like, no, not so sure. Perhaps they're friendly because they want something from you. We'll see some examples in the Bible about that. Or perhaps they think that they know you better than they do. Or you've moved on from that time of friendship in your life when you were a friend to them. So you have examples of that in all kinds of different ways. In the Bible, there are human friends. 1 Samuel 18:3 tells us, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." Human friends. And their family friends, Ruth said to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." I suppose, I think that Ruth could call Naomi her friend and reverse. So here's a case where a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law are friends, which is also a nice thing when that happens. There are bad friends, too, we learn from reading the lengthy narrative of the book of Job. When Job's three friends heard all the adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place: Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And Job would later say in the book, you know, this idea, what kind of friends are you? Because they were very mean to him. And some of it, when you read, I have been reading it recently here at the end of the year to finish the Bible reading for the Old Testament. And man, some of the things those friends say cut. I mean, they are cutting comments that they make. They don't necessarily, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, they don't really come out and just say, "Job, you know, you did this," but they talk about somebody who's wicked and all that. And they're basically saying, you know, indirectly, "Job, you're that man." Daniel had friends, didn't he? Remember their names? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You probably know them better by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus was friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I found this verse in John's Gospel, in John chapter 11. In verse 11, Jesus said these things, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Remember Barnabas? He was a friend to Saul, wasn't he? Paul took him to the apostles. Onesiphorus was a friend of Paul. Remember him? Went out and sought Paul diligently when he was in prison to try to help him. That's Onesiphorus. There's also couple cases in the Bible where a man is called the friend of God. Who is that man? You remember? James 2:23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Isaiah 41:8, I found this reference here. It says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend." That's a bit of an obscure reference there in Isaiah 41, but there's where James is picking that up from. I just am always impressed with these apostles and authors in the New Testament scripture that pull these Old Testament passages out of the hat, seemingly, and it's shame to us that we don't know it as well as they did. But Abraham was the friend of God. And perhaps we might say it this way just to challenge ourselves. Are you a friend of God? Do you desire to be a friend of God? Do you desire to have that close relationship with Him like Abraham did? Well, we'll see some other passages that indicate that is indeed possible. There are several texts that use the word Philadelphia, which is not exactly friend, but it is the word for brotherly love or love like a brother. And I'll read those texts to you now. In Romans 12:10, the text says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." There's 1 Thessalonians 4:9. I'm probably not going to turn to all these because I have them in my notes, but I'll turn to some of them. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." There's something that happens to a person when they become a Christian that they understand they're supposed to love their Christian brothers and sisters. It's just natural for the new nature to want to do that. Hebrews 13:1, "Let brotherly love continue." 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And 2 Peter 1:5 through 7, which is kind of our theme verse for this study about Christian character, it says, "But for this reason, this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love." The kind of person that we want to cultivate ourselves to be is the kind of person who Jesus was. He said this, "The kind of person that makes a great friend was willing to sacrifice of himself." What he said was, that's my summary of it, what he said was, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." So a friend, a great friend, is one who's willing to sacrifice of himself for his friend. You probably have read heroic stories of military heroes who have laid down their lives for their brothers at arms in some dangerous situation, to sacrifice themselves for others. What selflessness that represents. In the next two verses, Jesus called his disciples his friends and is the kind of person who would call us his friend. He says in John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." These are the friends for whom he's laying down his life. John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends." Remember Abraham, the friend of God? Well, he's calling his disciples friends now, friends of Jesus. "For all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." We saw that Jesus considered Lazarus as a friend. John 11:11, we read that already. A couple of negative examples. There's a type of person who separates friends. I call him an anti-friend. Okay, he's like anti-matter to matter. Proverbs 16:28, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." Somebody carrying gossip around, "Did you hear about this about that person and this about that person?" and separates people from one another. A lot of that goes on, doesn't it, today, out in public and in private. Proverbs 17:9, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." You don't have to tell everything that you happen to know about everybody because it could just cause trouble. So cover transgressions to seek love. Another anti-friend is someone who would betray you in time of trouble. Luke 21:16, "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. This is an end-time prophecy. Of course, it's happened all the way through the church age. People think they're offering God a service. False religions, even in these recent decades, killing Christians, thinking that they're serving God by doing so. Fulfillment of this text of Christ's word. Matthew 26:50, "But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?'" You remember who he's talking to in that text? He's talking to Judas. That's right. "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now that would be kind of an anti-friend, wouldn't it? Not really a friend. Psalm 41:9, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And then final example of an anti-friend, Job 19:19, all my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me." This is Job speaking. He feels that very poignantly in his life at this point. God is pleased with somebody, according to Psalm 15:3, who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Well, you could... Actually, this is kind of anti-friendship as well. Being friends with the world is enmity with God. James 4:4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Better to be a friend of God and an enemy of the world, even though it may cause some problems for you throughout your life. Your eternity will be a whole lot better. "Make no friendship with an angry man, nor with a furious man, and with a furious man do not go." Okay, so no friendships with angry people, lest you learn their anger. "Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." So don't forsake your friend, Proverbs 27:10 tells us. David, about people when they were his, they considered themselves to be his enemy. But it says in Psalm 35, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother." This is powerful. Here's David who, for people who hate him, is even concerned for them. That's a great example for us. But they didn't return it. They kept him in the enemy category for themselves in their own mind, even though he was trying to be kind. Then there are another kind of friends in the Scripture, and those are political friends. Political friends are very tenuous relationships. I found three examples of these in the text of the Bible. Luke 23, that very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with one another, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. And how did that happen? Pilate using Jesus to go to Herod, and Herod sending him back to Pilate, kind of was a pawn to establish a little connection between them. Interesting. John 19:12, "From then on Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend.' Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." And then one more example, political friendships, Acts 12. "Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country." So here they're using a little bit of political maneuvering to get what they want from King Herod. Another kind of tenuous friendship is that which is based on something other than appreciation for the person, him or herself, such as a desire for wealth. In Proverbs 14, it says, "The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Right? The rich has many friends. Everybody wants to be a friend with a rich person. I just heard a snippet of it, happened to run into this a few days ago, a snippet of an interview with a fellow who is very wealthy. And one of the most vexing things he said about the wealth is when your family comes begging for money. It just makes the relationship sour. Proverbs 19:4, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. You can buy people's friendship, right? Sort of. Not real friendship. It's a real friendship when somebody appreciates you, not for your money, but for you. Friends will rejoice with you in your blessings. John 3, the John the Baptist talking about rejoicing at Jesus being elevated and John being reduced. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, that's John the Baptist considering himself that, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. There's a real mark of a good friend, somebody who can rejoice with someone else without being covetous or jealous or upset at their successes and their blessings. Luke 15, there are several rejoicing parts of Luke 15. Remember, Luke 15 is about the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And it says, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost." So he calls his friends together. Similarly, with the woman who lost the coin, when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I lost." And Paul teaches us in Romans 12:15 to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. So sometimes friends will rejoice and sometimes friends will weep because they feel your pain with you, at pain of loss or illness or whatever. Then there are some people who act like friends. They say something like flattering words to you. Proverbs 27:14, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him." So excessive flattery. You know, you're just like, enough, too much. No thanks. Friends will help one another. These are the traits we're trying to develop here, our friends. We'll help one another. "My children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's 1 John 3. We can help each other in concrete ways. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Good for you young guys to have a friend, maybe similar age or a little older, who you can kind of have him help knock off some of the rough edges of your, you know, young manhood. We need that, iron sharpening iron. Proverbs 27 also says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." So it's good for us to have somebody who comes along and says, "Hey, you know, that was a goof up. That was a sin. That was a mess up. You need to stop doing that." Those are faithful wounds of a friend. But you don't need fake kisses of an enemy. "A friend loves at all times," Proverbs 17:17, "and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times. Solomon gives us some other wisdom in Ecclesiastes. It says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, let's see. "Yeah, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? One can be overpowered by another, but two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So two better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. You know, there are just some jobs that take two people. I saw two brothers come and carry this table up to the front. A whole lot easier than having one guy trying to do that by himself. It's possible. I mean, you could drag it on the carpet or whatever, but it's better with two. Sometimes, though, friends can be a pain in the neck. Luke 11, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine has come on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. I say to you, though he will not rise to give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. That would be kind of a pain, wouldn't it? Somebody coming to your house at midnight asking you for some food. Hey, I'm in bed. I'm trying to get some sleep here. I need to get up early in the morning, that sort of thing. Friends are good people to evangelize, too. Acts 10, Cornelius. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. So, maybe you get some friends together and say, hey, I'd like to invite our church pastor to come to our home and talk to us about Christmas or something. And then, you know, it'll be a little easier for you because you put all the burden on me, say, in that example. But your friends, you could help them that way. Mark 5, 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home. This is the Gadarene demoniac. He said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things God has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. That's Mark 5, 19. And so we believe that he did go back and tell his friends. And when Jesus came back to the region called Decapolis, there were many who had heard about him and were ready to receive the knowledge of the Messiah. Luke 7, 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, friends help you when you're in trouble. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not already far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, friends to Jesus, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. So Jesus, or the centurion, is in some very difficult straits, and he sends friends as messengers for him. Now, there's a verse that's often used in studies like this, and it's in Proverbs 18:24. Why don't you turn your Bible there? We'll just look at that for 1 second. Proverbs 18:24. It fits very well, excuse me, with what we're saying in the New King James translation. It says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so, you know, wow, works perfectly for a message like this. But then you read it in the ESV and it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. You know, the New King James sounds like, hey, if you want to have friends, you better be friendly, which I think we can say is pretty true. I mean, if you're going to be gruff and mean, you know, all the time, you're not going to have as many friends. But then it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. And then the translations agree at the last half of the verse. The difference arises because the New King James translators decided to follow what's called the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint, or Septuagint, some say, and some other ancient versions, whereas the ESV stayed with what's called the Masoretic Hebrew text. So there's a little bit of a difference in spelling, which creates a difference in translation in the English language. It's not an easy decision. But I think we can kind of bypass any controversy and say, well, it's clear that you need to be friendly from the other texts of Scripture that we've talked about. And it's true that if you have many companions, and of course they're bad companions, you could come to ruin. So I'm going to kind of draw to a close here. Christians, I conclude, should have friends. The Apostle John had friends. 3 John verse 14 talks about the friends that he had. Paul had friends. Acts 19, Acts 24, Acts 27, Philemon 1, all of them talk about his friends. In fact, it says at one point the centurion allowed Paul's friends to come and minister to him. If you're not a friendly person, you're lacking an element of Christian character that you need to develop. And it could be just as simple as the fact that you maybe are too self-centered to care about other people. Think about this. Too self-centered to care about other people. The Spirit of God wishes to work on you in such a way as to exterminate that kind of selfishness. Now, you might object, well, listen, I'm not an outgoing person. But that, again, is a self-focused attitude. God's calling you to be an others-oriented person despite your natural tendencies. God does work to override a lot of our natural tendencies, doesn't He? Because they're sinful tendencies. So you can't get away with an excuse to say, you know, I like my time to myself. I'm my own person. This idea of friendliness is a central element of what Christian love and brotherly kindness is all about. So to cultivate this, you might consider spending time in new ways with different people, doing things together. They don't have to be trite things or useless things. They can be work, projects, sports, exercise, Bible study, things of that nature. The Bible commands us, Colossians 3, for example, to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. That's a great list, by the way, of all kinds of character traits, some of which we've looked at. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, even so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then God commands His people in Romans 12, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. So work on cultivating these characteristics. Young people, you know, you're here from the youth group. Not your normal fare here, but maybe today God wanted you, I think He did, want you and us to hear about being friendly. Being friendly. Be friendly to people at school, maybe especially the people who are outcast, the people who are downtrodden, the people who are left behind and not in any of the cool crowds, things like that. Show kindness and compassion and affection to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Each and every one of those people that you interact with is made in God's image and is a special image bearer God loves and sent His Son for them just as well as for you. So work on cultivating these things, and you will be among the best of friends. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the privilege this morning to look into the Word of God. I pray that You will help us to develop in our friendliness toward one another, that we would be outgoing in that way, that we would be others-focused, that we would rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, that we would take up the cause of help needed by a friend in the church or at the workplace or in the neighborhood. And Lord, we pray that You would do this in us, that we would be known as a friendly kind of place because of the friendly kind of people that are grown here at Fellowship Bible Church by Your word and by Your grace and by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.